CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and also what do we hear in church when we attend? Is it even in the Bible at all? And quite often, friends, it's not. It's made up. It's a bunch of man's stuff. So if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program today. Got a couple lines open, as a matter of fact, so you can jump on if you like. 888-ASK-CSN. Joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker we have on the Weekend Times, the Dacus Report from PJI.org, Brad Dacus, and from Pacific Justice Institute. Brad, always a blessing to have you with us. So many things going on. Hi, I'm so glad you're here. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
And look forward to answering some questions with you. And again, Brad's ministry and is representing people like you and me, your religious organization against unfair laws and rules, regulations that are really misinterpreted. And Brad, I know you're always working on something. What are some of your latest things? And you know, what do you think about, they said Trump's going to do no jail time now because of this kangaroo court in New York where the statute of limitations had ran out on anything that they had to say. And is it legal to say they illegally revamped these things that the statute of limitations had ran out on? And right. Then they transformed something as a misdemeanor, like clerical errors, into a felony as the judge coaches the jury or any other thing. If you think he's ever committed a crime, what? Yeah. I mean, is there any way to get this expunged off of Trump's record and to really deal with this totally rotten court where all this went down?
Well, the answer is clearly yes, and it will be. So that's the short answer up front. But you're absolutely right. The judge gave an unprecedented smorgasbord of menu items for the jury to choose from. So they didn't have to agree on it, the actual intentions and actions. They just had to think, yeah, I think this one, I think this one, I think this one. Judge says, okay, well, then we'll lump it all together and call it a conviction. I've never heard of that before. Neither have many jurists, prudence experts.
Or lawyers anywhere.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And then, of course, turning a misdemeanor into a felony, trying to get around the statute of limitations. There's so many problems. And, of course, violating what the Supreme Court already said with regards to evidence that may be admitted versus not admitted. It was real clear, crystal clear. So this judge basically threw out his oath and his obligation to abide by the law, by the rulings of the Supreme Court. That's what he's obligated to do. And he decided in his own political hackish way, decided to come down and sentence President Trump. He said, okay, there's no jail time. That may be what was politically the best for this judge and maybe his leftist political party that he effectively represented throughout this process. But it's not legitimate. And I am convinced that, and I mark my words, this will be brought up for Supreme Court. Now, President Trump already tried to truncate this, if you will, before the actual sentencing. So through an interlocutory appeal. And the court voted 5-4 against granting it to be taken up and heard, be an interlocutory appeal, where that's sort of like where the case hasn't really been brought to completion yet. We still want you, Supreme Court, to intervene. It was normally, they never take up hardly ever an interlocutory appeal to be grant. They always, almost always, the Supreme Court waits to have the full case over, judgment, sentencing, everything in, and then it goes up through the appellate process, and then they hear it. So I would say the fact that you had four of the justices say, no, in this situation, we don't even want to wait till the sentencing. We want to take it up now. This is so blatantly, presumably, this is what I think they were saying. This is so blatantly an error of judgment and a misapplication of jurisprudence and the law and the Constitution. We have to take it up now. So the fact you had four already just saying, take it up now, this is outrageous. Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts, Chief Justice, they sided with the other side, said, no, let's have prudence. Let's do the regular procedure. Let's wait for the sentencing, and then they can bring it up. But once it goes up, I'm very, very confident it will be struck down and the felony will be wiped away, and the mud and the disgrace will be officiated not on Trump, but on that judge and the district attorney and the Department of Justice and their role to illegally engage in this. By the way, I also believe once we have a new attorney general, the collusion that took place, illegal collusion that took place by the Department of Justice and the District Attorney of New York and the playing out on that, I think that's going to come to the surface. We may even have some prosecutions based on that. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Wow. Exciting times we're in. Well, again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We're going to go ahead and go to the phones. We have Carrie on the line, Glendive, Montana. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you, brothers, both of you. I am a tower keeper, and I could
Wonderful.
Not live without CSN or your program Monday through Friday. But my question, I always love it when Brad Dacus is on there because he is a lawyer. So, Brad, my question is mainly toward you. Is there any way that American citizens, just little nobodies like us, can bring some type of a legal recourse against the media for covering up not only all of this collusion for 4 years, and in fact lying to the public, deliberately, intentionally lying, about President Biden is, in my opinion, he's a criminal, a capital criminal. He's committed treason, espionage, sabotage, money laundering.
Bribery.
But the media, can the American people come after them by law and to teach them a lesson so they won't start doing this when President Trump is, actually, if he lives to get in the White House, bless his heart? That's my question.
Yeah. And while you were asking that, I was pondering what the answer would be. I have several angles here. First is the fact that President Trump was effective against ABC on a libel slander matter, the misreporting of the information during the election. And he was successful, and he got a nice settlement, if you will, against ABC or judgment. But in addition, one of the most effective things you can do is to encourage your friends not to watch CNN, headline news, MSNBC, and encourage them to watch good news outlets like CSN. That is one of the most effective. And you might even want to talk to your pastor, by the way. Some pastors say, I don't want to be political. I don't want to offend anyone. But the blatancy of lies and deception and evil and sin, and pastors need to call out sin, is so obvious. So I think if you can have your pastor maybe say, you know what, this year, saints, let's be very careful what we listen to, who we listen to. When there's a media that has proven itself to provide false information, deceptive information, lies, slander, gossip, do not listen to that. Do not give them your attention. And you can call out, depending on your pastor, call out CNN and MSNBC by name, headline news by name. I think that is the power of the consumer is the strongest voice you have. As far as legally speaking, there's not a lawsuit you can file to say this entity, unless you can show that you were directly impacted like President Trump could. I don't see an avenue there legally, but getting out the news is to get the word to positive news sources and then encouraging your pastor and others in authority to call out evil news sources that are providing evil and false information and advocating evil things against a biblical worldview. I think that's very appropriate. And I wouldn't stop going to a church who the pastor said they didn't feel comfortable for doing that. But I would still, nonetheless, that may be something you might want to just recommend to the pastor and see how the Lord leads them.
You know, Brad, another part that goes along with Carrie's question is, you know, we all love the freedom of speech that we have, but this is where I think some of the problems come. And I think this is how Trump won that $14 million settlement against ABC. There's a difference, and nobody has really picked this up, and I think maybe goes along with Carrie's question, how can we stop it? Is there a difference between freedom of speech and downright open slander, what they're doing to the president, twisting his words, making him say things he never said? I watched a story by CBS, but one of them, and it said, oh, when Trump gave his little speech, oh, he seemed to be so angry. Well, that's because he's going to get sentenced in a day or two, and that's what's making him real. I mean, no facts, just made up, and this is what is called news. Friends, it's not news.
Right.
It's advocacy journalism.
Right. Now, as far as slander, libel, slander, defamation of character, you've got to have a statement that's a factual misstatement. General opinion, they can say, I think Trump is evil. I think he's crooked. I think he's a dictator. They can make all those kinds of statements. Those are just opinion statements, however disgusting they may be. But if they say, I think Trump embezzled $50,000. I think Trump did this. I think Trump did that. Or Trump said this and Trump said that, and it's not true. Then you have libel, slander, maybe defamation, depending on how it's carried out. But then still, the person who can bring the action is the one who has been harmed and damaged by it. Not just the general public, but specifically harmed and damaged. Not just people who didn't like what was being said. So that's where Trump comes in and other individuals who can bring action. That's what they can do. And the good news, Donald Trump is someone with more of a spine than any man I've ever met in my life. And he's not a wimp, and he's willing to call it out and to take him down. And we need to be encouraging the president when he does that to hold media accountable. Media is still a huge machine, and we need to be supportive for those who stand up against the evil of media for things like libel, slander, and defamation.
You know, going back to what we talked about before we went on the air, Brad, about George Orwell's book, and how in the days in the future, they would change the meanings of words. Like when I was watching, I think it was one of the public broadcasting systems or one of the, but anyway, when Trump pulled ahead with the popular vote and the electoral vote, one of the commentators made a remark saying, well, I guess the American public just doesn't care about democracy anymore. Well, that's what democracy is. I don't know where this commentator was coming from, but they have substituted the word democracy in place of communism.
Right.
So when they say Trump hates democracy, no, Trump hates communism. And the American people, they just don't care about communism anymore. That's a true statement. We've all seen where it's gone. Look at what's going on in California right now with the fires, tearing out. You know, yesterday I told everybody it was 4 reservoirs. I stand corrected. It was 7 reservoirs they tore out. They don't have any water in the fire hydrants.
Right.
You see, and when you do this kind of stuff, people are done. The government will supply everything you need. You have not any rights to question us. Well, I think we do need to question them. And I think this is what we're seeing more and more and more is insane government overreach where, you know, now they want to go into your house, everybody, and tell you you can't have a gas stove anymore. You know, why don't you patrol the borders? Why don't you take care of the national defense? Why don't you take care of the crime in the streets? And instead, you want to take away our gas stoves. This, Brad, help me here. Where do we go with this where they're trying to micromanage everything that goes on now, down to the stoves in our kitchens?
Yeah, I will tell you, before the fire, if someone asked me in the next election, does a Republican have a reasonable chance of winning the governorship? I would have said, probably not. You know, just the Republican to Democrat ratio is 3-2. But I have now changed my perspective. The pain and the hurt of so many based on the policies of those who have a leftist, non-biblical, anti-biblical worldview is so great that I think that we may see such a transfer of power in the next election in 2026. But people need to get involved. They need to vote. They need to register to vote. Pastors out there, you need to have your church registered to vote. We'll help you do that. We had over 900 churches. We got to have voter registration Sundays this last election, having a significant impact on races. And so I think if we get involved, we can actually see a difference, a transformation in California, because the pain is so hard. The crime is high. These disasters are outrageous. They don't have to happen. And the people of California, I think, overall know that. And so we'll see. You know, the mayor of Los Angeles, she's already pushed and supported over a $70 million reduction in the fire department and for funding for L.A. County prior to this. I mean,
yeah,
you couldn't ask for greater stupidity and incompetency as exhibited by the mayor of Los Angeles, as well as the governor, Gavin Newsom. And if so we'll see how it turns out. But it's just a reminder, never give up. Things change. Things are changing. And I see the possibility of a major election revolution, if you will, in the state of California. I'm actually have a hope for that after all.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of, you know, using the water to put out fires, they just let it run in the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
More concerned about a smelt fish, which is found in other rivers and streams in California, than they are for taking care of people. And it's really quite sad what we see. Carrie, to answer your question, do we have any recourse against the liberal news media? Yes. Number one, something you can do today is tell people stop watching this junk. They're lying to us. They've been lying to us. I am very skeptical of the sponsors for these different news outlets. And I try not to buy stuff that is supporting this kind of stuff. You know, people say, oh, it doesn't work. Well, it sure worked with Bud Light, if you remember, when all that debacle came down. So, no, I do think the American people do have a lot of recourse against corrupt media and cut off their money. That's the number one thing you do.
Right.
And again, I believe I forget who reported that, Bill O'Reilly or somebody, said that only 8% of the American public right now believes the news media. Huh, that's pretty bad. They said the only thing that was lower was what was going on in the current administration. So anyway, things that we need to be mindful of. And again, Carrie, I hope that answers it for you.
Yes, it does. And I wish you both a very blessed new year. Thank you again, Pastor Kessler and Pastor Dagas, for everything that you guys do. I would not live, if Biden ever tries to take away my radio, then I will be able to have some recourse to take action. So, thank you both.
True. True.
Well, Carrie, stay in line. If you don't have the movie Jesus based on the book of Luke, God of Wonders, as well as 101 Last Days Prophecy. Stay on the line, and we'll get those out to you for calling in. Happy New Year to you, Carrie, and for all of us, all of you listening, again, still not too late to say that. Well, let's go to Eric, Joplin, Missouri. How can we help? Looking for Eric. Eric, are you there? I don't hear Eric. Well, in that case, we'll go to Terrence in Las Vegas. Hi and welcome.
Hello. Hello. I'm sure you can lend clarity to my question. I titled it Conspicuous by Its Absence. It just dawned on me that, Jesus being prophet, priest, and king, why, when he prophesied that the temple would be torn down, it's not highlighted that I can see in any of the books of the New Testament? Can you help me out with that?
Because
it was a major thing for the Jews. And
right. It was torn down in 70 AD. And so that was after most all the writings of the Bible were written. They were written prior to 70 AD. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I think the chronology is really important to understand, because that really explains quite a bit. It's one of the interesting proofs of the authenticity of Scripture. When you read what's in the Scripture in the Book of Acts and things, and you see what is not mentioned, obvious things like the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. I mean, that's strong evidence that it happened shortly. These were books written shortly after Christ rose from the dead, and within a relatively short period of time in the timeline, which is wonderful for apologetics, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, we find a couple others, some place, you know, like as an example, the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, around 90 AD. Again, I think they were really focusing upon, because the emphasis went from Jerusalem and really the temple to really went to Christ and the church. And so I think this is why I see it. Now, we do see the persecution coming on. It is interesting, in the epistles of John, 2 John, to the elect lady, he says. Now, people thought, oh, well, he's just writing to the church. There's other comments on that, because as you really read it, many people believe he's writing to Mary, Jesus's mother. And in writing that, so that no persecution would come upon Mary or the other, as many Christians that were associated with her. But, you know, we don't know for sure. And so a lot of people say, well, he's just addressing the church to the elect lady. Because of the lateness of when it was penned, 90 AD, that would have made Mary probably right around 90 as well. So it would have been very, very late. But I believe that is what most Bible scholars will tell you. And again, as you understand that most of the New Testament, nearly all of it, was written before 70 AD, but the focus was not upon the temple and Jerusalem. It was upon the church and Jesus Christ. So hope that helps.
What about the book of Revelation then? I mean, that covers quite a bit in and out of periods. What's the dating of the book of Revelation? You would think that Jesus being a prophet and prophesying that, and it was the main thing, it would be maybe in the book of Revelation. Am I not seeing it in Revelation?
Well, they believe that Revelation could have been written around 95 to 96 AD. Now, what's important to understand here, when we get to chapter 11 in the book of Revelation, John is given a reed and is told to measure the temple and do not measure the outer court. It has been given to the Gentiles. Well, if the temple would have still been there, the outer court had not been given to the Gentiles. So understanding that the to measure the temple is interesting, because by that time, the temple would have been torn down. So he would have been measuring then what's commonly called the third temple, the temple built with the treaty from the Antichrist for Israel. So this is where they kind of leave this. Again, Jerusalem, because it had been in such rebellion to the Roman government. That's when Jesus fell down under the weight of the cross, and they were crying for him. He goes, "Don't weep for me, weep for your children." And he saw that day when Titus come in and leveled the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. You know, it was pretty common knowledge. So I believe that John measuring this temple that had been torn down is something very unique. And then that clue, the outer court has been given to the Gentiles. Well, again, when we understand, going back to Luke 21, Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles, that the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. When Jesus said that, it was under Roman control. And if you go back 800 years, it was under the Medo-Persian Empire. It was under the Grecian Empire, then the Roman Empire. In fact, Jerusalem never came back under the control of the Jews until 1967. They got half the city of Jerusalem in 1948, but that half did not have the Temple Mount. That is what they got in the 67 war. And the Wailing Wall is why they cried, because they couldn't stay there. It was then changed the name to the Western Wall, because it was the last remaining wall of Solomon's Temple. Now, or Herod's Temple. Oh, so when we look and see that this was torn down in 70 AD, it probably was a moot point until John is told to measure here in the future this temple with the outer court being given to the Gentiles. So I hope that shines some light on it for you.
Well, I appreciate you lending your opinion, taking the time, and thank you very much.
Well, God bless you. Yeah, there's a lot of good illustrations out there on this. What I mean by illustrations, I've seen a lot of these timelines that are very, very kind of put it into perspective, as well as there's some fairly good commentators, but on it. Again, I believe by the time that John wrote Revelation, the temple had been demolished. And so to remeasure it was great encouragement. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of. Coming up on a break, everyone. We'll be right back with more after this.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before January 15th and you use the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is January 15th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up this week. Looking forward to answering some more questions with all of you. I have Brad Dacus here from Pacific Justice Institute, attorney at law, representing people like you and me, our churches, against unfair rules, regulations, and misinterpreted laws. And so if you got a question, especially in the legal field, today's your day to call, and we'll do our very best to get to your question. Going back to the phones, we go. We have Eric on the line, Joplin, Missouri. Hi, and welcome.
How you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Well, my question is salvation. All right. I've heard the term once saved, always saved, you know, and they say once you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and as your personal Savior, then your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then I've heard other people say and preach on that that's not enough to just do that. You have to pick up your cross and follow Christ, you know. I know that, you know, when you get saved, there's a renewing of mind, a renewing of spirit and all that. And I was just wondering about that.
Well, I think the real question, to even go a little deeper with your question, is if you died today, would you be at home in heaven? Now, again, if people think heaven is an everlasting kegger in the back of their old Ford pickup with their dog Blue and a couple of their drunk buddies, well, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Yeah, that sounds good to me. But when you stop to realize heaven is where God is worshipped forever. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. God's will is done exclusively in heaven. If a person that calls themselves a Christian, backslidden Christian, no Christian at all, doesn't want to do God's will here on this earth, they're not going to want to do it for eternity through heaven. So I think the real question is, if you died today, would you be at home in heaven with a biblical definition of what heaven is, not Hollywood's interpretation of what heaven is? And there's a big difference because, again, when we realize that heaven is where God's will is done forever. You mean an everlasting worship service, worshiping God? Oh, I don't want to do that. Well, that's what it's going to be. And if a person says, well, you know, I'd go to church, but I'm around all those religious people. What do you think heaven's going to be? Well, you know, I really want to do my own thing. I like the idea of that fire insurance, but I want to do my own thing. That's not where people go. If you want to do your own thing, the Bible says there's a way that seems right into a man, but in the end, there's destruction. Speaking of hell. And so I really believe, Eric, that really even the question of once saved, always saved is a secondary question, because the real question is, if you died today, would you be at home in heaven? And again, if you don't want to do, and this is what I tell people, if people don't want to do God's will here on this earth, why are they going to want to do it throughout all of eternity? Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I like how you worded that, because salvation is not entering into a contract. It is entering into a relationship. It's sort of like when you getting married and saying, okay, so I marry this woman and I get some benefits and stuff, but what's my obligation? We'll say, you know, and some Christians will say, they apply that works analogy. They'll say, well, yeah, you have to, you know, take your vows and then you have to do certain things. You have to say, I love you so many times. You have to do this so many times. I would say, don't get married. We'd say that's ludicrous. That's not the right perspective of what a marriage is. In the same way, someone just like saying a prayer, doing the minimal ritual, if there's no change of heart, if there's no surrender of their life to the Lord, then it's not legit. It's just doing something that's maybe fleeting for the moment, but there's no surrender to the Lord. We surrender to the Lord, the God responds to that, and with the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin and giving us a desire to want to follow God. Not that we're not going to stumble. Of course, we're still humans, and God's going to continue that sanctifying process. The key is not, you know, well, can someone get saved, technically saved, and then just live like the devil? It'd be like, can someone be married and completely ignore and not love their wife? It's really not a marriage. It's really, and similarly, wouldn't be a real born-again experience. The works are evidence of the authenticity of the relationship and of the surrendering to of our lives to Christ from the inside out. So that's how God sees us. He looks at our hearts, and I think that's great. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's interesting, in verse 8, I like how Paul says, it says, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. It says, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's a heart condition. And I'm really glad that that was phrased as such, to show that's what we need to really focus on.
So I hope that answers it for you.
Yes. I mean, it really does. I mean, when he spoke about marriage the way he did, I mean, that really makes sense. You know, you don't marry somebody, you know, just because you like them, you know, or you think they look good. You know, there's got to be a deep connection there. And yeah, I believe, because, you know, there's some sins that I still struggle with in my life. And I claim to have been saved, you know, and accepted Jesus Christ for many years now. And, you know, it's just, you know, I've talked to different pastors about it. And, you know, one person says the Lord works with you at his pace and, you know, this, that, and the other. And another person says, oh, well, you're not saved if you didn't just get completely cleansed right off the bat. And, you know, it's a conflict of interest that I've really wondered about and prayed about for quite some time. But,
well, you look at Peter as an example in the Bible. He was always worried about what people thought of him. Remember when he was being interrogated in Herod's courtyard and this little slave girl, probably around 12 years old, says, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And Peter starts cussing and swearing that he never knew who the Lord was. Well, people say, well, he wasn't really born again then, but then he became born again. Okay, all right, he's saved. He stands up on Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, explaining these people aren't drunk with wine as you think. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And man, Peter's on fire. And then a few chapters up in the Bible, we begin to read about where Paul rebukes him because Peter would not eat with the Gentiles because of what the Jews might think. He was still showing this flaw in his personality. And when you mentioned that, Eric, about wrestling with some of these things, I think Peter did too. I think we all do. Different aspects that we always daily have to come to Christ and surrender to him. And, you know, the old saying, it feels like two dogs inside of me fighting. Well, which one's winning? Well, which one are you feeding? Because the one that you feed is the one that's going to get stronger and outdo the other one. And I believe, again, as this is why the Bible talks about to earnestly contend for the faith. This is why Peter says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Why did he say that? Because he knows. And we need to know and remember these particular elements about our old sin nature. The Bible says, make no provision in the flesh for sin. Why is that? Because it already has a tendency to sin. So, you know, Paul says, I beat the old man. Speaking of him, not talking about his dad. He says, I beat the old man to keep it under because it wants to rile up against the Holy Spirit. And it's pretty tough. Eric, hope that helps.
All right. Thank you. It did.
God bless you. Stay in line. If you like, send you out a little book called Time to Grow. Might really enjoy reading that as well as the movie Jesus. A couple other things we got there for you if you like. Happy New Year to you. Let's go to Ricardo, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Hello, Pastor Mike. About a year and a half ago, I was arrested for preaching the gospel on a public street. I had called four different nonprofit organizations, turned down by two. The others didn't reach back out to me. And I called you, and Brad happened to be on, and sure enough, he asked for my number, and he was able to link me up with a paralegal, and I got advice, and he helped me write a paper, and you know, so I just want to call and say thanks.
Yeah.
Well, amen, thanks. Brad. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that feedback. I greatly appreciate it. In fact, you know, it's such an encouragement to hear that. And we hear that all the time because we at Pacific Justice Institute, we don't just cherry pick pretty cases and high profile cases. No, we want to make sure that everyone gets help. And sometimes we'll mess up, but our goal and objective is to make sure that everyone gets help, that no one's left on the side of the road. So I'm really glad to hear that feedback. And I just want to encourage other people out there, if we've helped them, we'd like to start, you know, sharing their testimonies like you just provided with other people out there so they can be encouraged as well. So if you ever want to take some time to send us an email with that just description of what you just said, that would be great. I'd love to include that in one of our emails to our supporters so they can just hear it straight from the horse's mouth what we're doing there on the front line. Thank you for that call. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so I hope that, again, that praise report of your encourages others that you're not out there all alone. And again, people like Brad Dacus and PJI help defending us. And again, Ricardo, I'm very, very happy to hear that the Lord was with you and strengthened you and delivered you from the hand of the enemy.
Pastor Mike, I've been, I'm 27 now. I've been listening to you since I was about 21. And I just wanted, I don't know if you knew who Richard Wurmbrand was. Do you know who he was?
Yes.
Okay. So Richard Wurmbrand, just a mighty man of God. He passed away, and hirelings and wolves, they came and took over. And, you know, the CEO was getting paid like $200,000 a year. And you know, he was a pedophile. He ended up getting arrested, and he's committed suicide. Pastor David Wilkerson, I mean, he'd be rolling over in his grave today because there's nothing but cotton candy preachers walking around on this stage. And I just wanted to encourage you, Pastor Mike, you know, to crack the whip, because when you pass on, you know, that's what the devil's going to do. He's going to come in and you know, that's what he does. It's just sad to see, you know. And just like Brad said in the beginning, you know, people are afraid to offend. And, you know, they're afraid to tell the truth. And it is just a sad thing that we're seeing, where people that, you know, I tell people, if there's more hell preaching behind the pulpit, there would be less hell in the streets.
Well, you know, again, we're all in this together. I couldn't do what I do. You couldn't do what you do unless we all work together. And I thank God for, as we had a caller before, being a tower keeper, making sure that CSN stays on the air as well as everybody. And we're building a lot of brand new radio stations. We just went on the air in Central Valley in California yesterday. So, you know, it's just really great in the Merced area. We're just trying to get the word out. We all realize we're running out of time. How much time we got, I don't know. But every day God gives us is another day to tell people and let our light shine, because one of these days, Jesus is going to take us home, and there will ever be. And then the world gets what they wanted, a world without God. And the Bible says it's literally hell on earth. So it's going to be a crazy time. So work for the night is coming, when no one can work. I want to thank you again for calling, Ricardo. And if you need anything, we're here for you. Stay in line. I'll send you out the little book, Time to Grow, as well as the movie Jesus, based on the book of Luke, as well as 101 Last Days Prophecies, for calling. Okay.
Thank you, Mike. And real briefly, one time you shared that that one guy, he came to your door and it was so late at night and you didn't answer. And then the next day you heard that, you know, he was doing some sort of electrical work and he died.
Yes, he's dead. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you share that testimony again?
Well, where I lived, it had been raining. And at about 3 a.m, there was a knock on the door. Now, this is back before everybody had cell phones. And he knocked on the door, and I got up and he says, "Hey, I need you to come and pull my truck out. I got it stuck." And I said, "Well, it's dark, it's raining, come back tomorrow." So what he did is he went and he had recently got a job working for somewhere that had a crane truck. And so he went and got into town somehow, got into his company's stuff, got the crane truck, went back down to where his car was stuck. He was doing Brody's circles on the city park lawn, and it got stuck. So he ran the boom up. But instead of, he didn't know how to really operate it, he hooked into the high tension line, the high voltage line. And when he saw that it was tied up, he stepped out of the truck and he got electrocuted and burned literally right into the ground, as the truck was on rubber wheels. But then when he stepped on the ground with his hand on the door, it fried him into the ground. I noticed about 8 o'clock in the morning, the power went off and it was cold. And so I called the power company and they said, "Oh, we had an accident down in the park last night." And it was the strangest thing, because when he was standing at the door wanting me to come out and do that, the Lord like shared with me, tell him about me. And I thought, well, I'll just do it in the morning.
Oh.
And he never lived to see the morning. And I told the Lord from that day forward, I would never do that again. When you prompt me, I'll speak. And because we're not promised tomorrow, we're not even promised an hour from now. And so every day is so important. And so if you've been wondering about, well, maybe I shouldn't, you know, I don't want to offend my son or my daughter and tell them about the Lord. Hey, better you tell them and they be offended than you not tell them and you're not here anymore, or they're not here anymore to hear the message. You know, we're just messengers. We're just bringing the gospel. What they do with that is between them and God. But I want to be sure that I've done my part, because I know God is doing his part. Hope that helps. Ricardo, I hope that refreshes your memory on that.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, that probably goes back to probably 1976. That's how long ago that was. And I still remember it. I still remember looking in his eyes. It's one of those things you never forget. And I just really felt bad. Who would have dreamed, you know? Ricardo, if you like, stay in line, send you all those things out. Thanks so much for the praise report. With that, we'll go to William, St. George, Utah. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. Thank you both for what you do for God's kingdom. My question comes out of the book of Ezekiel. I've been reading through it chapter by chapter every day, and it started at the very end. Ezekiel was given a vision by God about the new temple that was going to be built, and in it he refers to a lot of sacrifices and things that were going to be done on the altar. And my question is, since Jesus died and was a perfect sacrifice and takes our sins away, and we don't need atonement for sin anymore, why is there so much sacrifice being talked about for sin offerings?
Well, because without the shedding of blood, the Bible tells us, there is no remission of sins. And so there had to be the shedding of blood. Now, as an example, in the new temple in Jerusalem that will be built during the millennial reign of Christ, we find the temple and blood sacrifices being reinstituted. Somebody said, well, if Jesus' blood was the supreme sacrifice, why are they sacrificing animals again? It's not for the forgiveness of sin. It's a commemorative to remind people what Jesus did for us on the cross. Again, as such as an example, the tomb of the unknown soldier. Why do we have guards 24 hours a day around the tomb of the unknown soldier? Is the unknown soldier going to get up out of the tomb and walk off? Is somebody going to come in and try to steal the body? Probably not. So why is that? It's a commemorative. It's to remind us of those who died for our freedoms in times past. I believe the blood that will be shed in the new temple in Jerusalem is to remind people, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And then to understand what Jesus did for all of humanity on the cross. And so when we look at these things, I believe that is a lot of it. And again, there's a lot of people that try to go around what God says. The strange fire is an example that we find in the Old Testament, where these two were really God, Nadab and Abihu, offering strange fire. The word strange fire in the original means the fire that went outside the temple. And the fire that was on the altar was consecrated, and it was for the burnt offering, for the burnt offering. Well, we don't know exactly what they were doing, but they might have been trying to take some of these embers and going out and, you know, waving their incense pods over the people or something else. Whatever it was not prescribed by God. And God took it very, very seriously. You're going to represent me. You're going to represent me what I say, or not at all. And God struck them down. Any thoughts on that, Brad?
Yeah, I think that's a real good observation about how, even the sacrifices before Christ, those sacrifices were not in and of themselves sufficient for forgiveness. This is once again looking forward to the perfect sacrifice, and God is such a great Father in that He knows how we are. He knows we need to be taught, and to be taught. And the lesson that He was teaching continually over and over again, as you mentioned with the sacrifices in the first place, was how there needs to be sacrifice, the remission of sin, remission for sin and for forgiveness. And so that was actually looking forward. And I like how you pointed out that the sacrifices we're looking at in the future are going to be looking backward. And bottom line, it all points to Christ. And He is the center and the sole source of our hope, of our forgiveness, our redemption, and eternal life. And it all points to Christ. And I think that's the bottom line.
I hope that helps.
No, it does very much so. Yeah, that clears things up for me. Thank you both. That was very informative. Thank you.
William, if you like, stay in line. Send you out what I send everybody. I think you'll really enjoy it. Great to share with your friends. With that, we'll go to James, Corona, California. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Pastor Mike. Hey, Brad. How you doing?
Hey, hi there.
I'm good. How may we help?
My question that I was going to ask you, Aiden and Abihu, what strange fire did they offer? And you kind of answered the question already. do you think
they were doing something non-prescribed. It's very clear that the smoke, the fire of the temple was not to go outside. And in the wording of this strange fire or profane fire, it would indicate that they took it outside of the temple walls. Now, maybe for a show, in some way trying to impress people, maybe some kind of thing, I'll bestow a blessing on you. And, maybe they were asking for money. Don't know what it was, but it was outside God's prescribed way. And because of that, God terminated him. And again, I believe that, again, this is why, in fact, when the priest would go before the Lord once a year before the Holy of Holies, they really had to really examine their life to see if they had any sin in their life, because God would strike them down as they walked into the Holy of Holies. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And a lot of times, because people, use his name in vain and, oh God, oh Jesus, kind of stuff. And they diminish that, doesn't mean that God's diminished and there's a price to pay. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, it's so easy in our society today with comfort Christianity, God's our pal, to forget the other side of the coin, which is reverence to who God is and how God operates, and specifically his holiness and his righteousness. He had to spare his own son on the cross to bear our sins because of his holiness and his righteousness and his truth. And when we don't have reverence to God, he knows our hearts. We're just, as believers, begging for the at the very least, the discipline of the Lord. Sometimes I pray, I say, Lord, just keep me following you. I don't want to go through another hard time. I don't need another spanking. Keep me following you so you don't have to discipline me. But he's a loving God. He disciplines out of love. But it's also understanding the reverence towards God and the need for reverence in the first place.
So I hope that answers it. If you go to verse 7, you'll see very clearly that they were not to take that outside of the building, and lest you die. And so they did, and they died. So, just kind of coming back to taking God as his word is so important. Hope that helps, James.
Okay, Pastor, my thought was, hey, a few verses down that Aaron got his nephews, and it seemed like it said do not consume alcohol, and I thought maybe they'd gone in there, when people get drunk, they do things out of order, and maybe I thought, hey, well, maybe that was their sin.
That's why Proverbs 20 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and people that are deceived by it are not wise. You do dumb things when you're drunk. Hey, we're all out of time, everyone. Stay in line if you like. Send you out everything. William and Joel, the rest, please. Call us back on Monday. Thank you, Brad, for being on. Again, if you've got any questions, check them out, pji.org. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
God bless you. Have a blessed weekend. Happy New Year.
That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man An Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man An Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.